This is Outside the Round with Matt Barile, a Rage Rowdy podcast.
What's going on, guys? Welcome back to Outside the Round with me, Matt Barile. Today, a very special guest, a girl that I met during the pandemic. She's been killing it. She is the queen of EDM, and she's from the great state of Georgia. We got our girl, Ashley Walls, with us.
Hello.
It's been a while since I've seen you. How you been?
I've been amazing. How have you been?
Been good, just busy.
Yeah.
You know how it is.
Yep. That's when my sleep debt is up at an all-time high
today.
So that's a good sign. That means we're working.
Yeah, you were on. Were you on the road this past weekend?
Yeah, so we were in California. We did 4 shows out there, and we flew back in Monday. So, yeah, just got back in a couple days ago.
Nice. Where in California were you?
I guess it's like, I don't even know what part it is, but like Gilroy, California, Madera, Oakdale.
Okay.
I guess like that's near, I don't even know what part, but someone drove from LA. They drove 4 hours, they said.
Oh, wow.
So it's not LA area.
Yeah. How'd the shows go? Like what?
It's been actually really good. Like those went great. I was a little bit nervous. So this year we've been saying yes to people who've emailed us to play shows. Before, when people have emailed me, I've been like, I'm too like scared to come out. Because I was like, what if no one shows up?
Yeah.
So, yeah, I started saying yes to, like, a lot of gigs this year. And I remember some of my friends called me. They're like, oh, my God. Like, they had gone on the road. And they're like, we sold, like, 20 tickets. So I was so nervous before we did our first run in the Northwest. Because I had never been there. And we sold, like, 200 to 400 tickets every venue.
Wow.
So, and just, like, no, just social media posting it.
Yeah.
So it's been really good. Every time we've gone out, the turnout's been really awesome. People come up and they tell us like how they found me on like a TikTok live or like one of my viral videos that blew up. And they always bring like a ton of friends. So it's been really cool to like see, you know, the work you put online actually coming and like people coming out to see you in real life and knowing the songs, singing the lyrics.
Yeah.
It's been kind of cool to see.
That's cool. Like, what kind of venues are they? With like what you're doing, yeah. It could be in like a honky tonk or a dive bar,
yeah.
Or it could be in like a nightclub.
Yeah.
So it's a wide range, it seems like, from the outside looking in.
So, yeah, like basically what I'm doing for my project is country pop, as you guys probably already know.
Yeah.
My twin sister and I have this side thing we started called the Walls Twins EDM, Country EDM. Basically, when I was in Art Basel, we were playing Dare Nightclub, and I had a picture in there. I don't know if you saw it, but this photographer shot me for Art Basel and sold this print of me as part of his Western collection. So I wanted to do something very artistic and creative and different than kind of what I've been doing. So we decided to do Country EDM. Played at Dare Nightclub. People loved it. So we decided, you know, this is perfect for like after our full band set, or if like, you know, someone needs like us to come and like wants us to do something like hype and like quick at like shows. So we've been doing like a little bit of that, but mostly all my shows have been just full band and the music, you know, people follow me for and know. So
that's awesome. What cool. is, if someone's hasn't
yeah.
heard of EDM,
EDM,
how, what is like, what is it?
So yeah, it's country EDM. It's basically like a blend of EDM with like traditional country elements. So I have a project out, EDM Volume 1, and it's basically like the EDM versions of my country music.
Yeah.
So it's just more upbeat country. It's built for nightclubs and it's perfect. You know, we did it after our Oregon set. As an after party, and it was super fun. Same with Whiskey Row. We play Arizona all the time. We've always played Arizona.
I feel like Arizona, with it being Southwestern, but also nightclub culture is so big there.
Dude, Arizona loves the EDM and full band stuff. So I started out there actually playing Arizona. I played the Listening Room, and this guy saw me, Stuart Crawford, and he said, I have to get you to come out for our char ride. So brought my full band out there. Someone from the Thunderbird saw us, booked us for their parties. So we've kind of like built up this loyal fan base in Arizona. Then we did Waste Management, and we're supposed to play one day at Waste Management. They loved it so much. They're like, can we book you for 4 more days, like at the Bay Club? So played 4 more days at the Bay Club, and we did our EDM set there because I was like, we can do this. This is like so easy, so simple to play. I don't need a band for this. So we could stick around and do this. So I feel like they just love country music though in general. Like if it's EDM or if it's full band, like they're there for it.
What is the Wasted Open like?
The Wasted Open?
The Wasted Open. That's the nickname for it. The Waste Management Open. It's known around the world as the Wasted Open.
I did not know that.
It is the party of the golf world.
Okay.
Like if you want to black out and watch a professional golf tournament, you go to the Waste Management Open.
Well, it's funny you say that. Christy and I kind of forgot there was golf happening.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And yeah, you just kind of forget that it's happening. We were playing our set and we got asked to turn out. We're like, why? And they're like, there's a golf tournament going on. And apparently the golfers said every time I would start singing, people were like missing their shots because they would just hear this like girl's voice wafting over the system and distracting them so much. So it was great though. We loved it. I've never been. So I remember last year, I think I kind of manifest things. I'm very religious.
Yeah.
So I think there's like a lot of power in word and just God listening to us. And last year's like, I really want to go to the Waste Management Open. It looks so cool. And then magically we got to not only go and get passes, you know, VIP everywhere, but we got to play. So it was really cool.
Yeah. So backing up for those that don't know, you're from Georgia. You're from Marietta, just outside of Atlanta. And your family's been a huge thing for your musical journey. You went to UGA, studied marketing, music, all that stuff. And like your grandfather was a huge influence for you. Talk about the dynamic of growing up in Georgia, a place where music is just such a big part of the culture. And it seems like it was for your family, and how your grandpa inspired you to really pursue this thing.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So many good things in there. My family is definitely my number one champions. Like even today, they support me so much. And my grandpa, he played pedal steel guitar growing up, and I just remember I would go over to his house and like wanted to always play. And when I was a kid, I wanted a guitar. My parents made me wait until I was older to get one. But I just like always had this like need and love for music.
Yeah.
They would go up to my parents, my chorus teachers, music teachers, like, oh my God, this girl has something really special, like talented. But there's like not really that many like amazing teachers in Georgia. So I would like, when I took guitar lessons, I took them and the guy was like, I can't teach you anything else. Like, you've learned everything I've learned up to this point. I just kind of started playing guitar, singing, and the rest is history, I guess.
When did it become, this is what I want to do? Because you go to school, you get your degree. You can do anything with a marketing degree. You could work on the industry side like your sister does. When did it become, I want to be on stage. I want to write songs. Yeah. I want to do this. I want the world to hear what Ashley Walls has to say.
So I kind of feel like everyone knew I was going to be an artist before I knew. Like, so I cheered in high school. I was cheer captain. Always loved performing. Loved dancing. I'd choreograph all the dance for the teams. And we did this, like, time capsule thing when I graduated high school. And everyone wrote down, like, a word of good luck for me to open when I graduated 2020. And so everyone wrote down they thought I was going to be an artist. But I was telling everyone I was going to be a doctor.
Really?
So they all knew what was up.
How did doctor come out of studying marketing and music?
So originally I had an academic scholarship to college for grades and to UGA. And I'm like, okay, my dad was a doctor. So I was like, loved it, you know, was very good at science and math. My mom was a math teacher. So that side of my brain is just really, it came very naturally to me.
Yeah.
Which I think a lot of people who do music, like numbers are very simple for them because it's the same side of your brain. And so I went to college for that, but I always loved music and like had this like fire in me, but I just kept it at bay. And one day I was praying because I was like at a crossroad. I'm like, okay, should I, you know, be sacrificing my life and like studying like 2 hours a day for like biology and like chemistry?
Yeah.
Or should I do music?
Yeah.
So I said a prayer. I said, God, give me a sign. And then a week later, Billy Ray Cyrus, I got emailed to open for him. And
just wild.
Someone random like showed him my song in a hair salon. I don't even know how this happened. But so got emailed to open for him. And I was like, if that's not God, I don't know what is. So then I switched my major to marketing and music business and decided that I was going to graduate early and move to Nashville and pursue music.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yep. And that's what brought me here during COVID, because I graduated early, moved here. And then COVID hit like a week after I moved here. And I was like, is this a sign I shouldn't be an artist now? Like, confused, but.
But yeah. That's what pivoted you to really going after the social media angle of it. Because that's a tool that is open to anybody, but it's everybody's decision how far into it they want to get. And it's look where that's gotten you. It's gotten you eyes and ears all over the world.
That's like my thing. So people always, I always say, like, don't expect anyone to do anything for you. Like my experience in Nashville, like people tell you to move here and like you'll meet people and they'll like open doors. And now I feel like I've met people that have helped me, like meeting you, a very big blessing and very thankful for your
round
and
podcast. That means a lot for you to say. Yeah,
no, literally though. But I think at the end of the day, it's like no matter what you do, it's you can't expect, like you're not owed anything by the universe or by God, or it's all based on like your hard work. So I think social media is like a testament to that. It's like if you really want something, like if you want to open a taco stand, like you got to post about it. If you want to make music, like you have to post and like wake up and put in the work. And then I think God will bring the people in your life once he sees like you're grateful for the opportunities he's giving you. And then also you're actually putting in the work. So
yeah, he can put you at the door, but it's your decision to go through that and make the most once you walk into that room.
No, that's literally amen.
talk about what concrete cowgirl means to you. I think I get it being like an Atlanta suburban girl, but also rocking the lid. But tell me, what does that mean? Where did that come from?
Yeah. So I grew up in between the city and country. I grew up in Marietta, Georgia. So we would go mudding. And then we also would bring our fake IDs to Atlanta and go drink.
Buckhead, baby.
So yeah, I'm like kind of like a mutt. Like I grew up cheering, listening to like Lil Wayne. And then I also listened to like old school, like Waylon Jennings. So it just kind of like is a blend of who I am. And I've always loved the West as well. Like I love like the freedom of cowboy culture, and people call me an outlaw because I'm not afraid to like say things in country you're not supposed to say and make songs that are like a little bit controversial. So
what's an example of that?
Of the songs or
where you've gotten some flack or where you're like, are you sure you should be saying this for people around you? What's an example of that?
So one of the first songs I released here is called Atlanta, and it's trap country. And it's before Morgan Wallen or anyone else had used 808s. So I wanted to write a song that was the opposite of a basic country song. So I was like, let's bring the boy to the city instead of bringing the girl to the country. So I posted like a snippet on my TikTok and it absolutely blew up. But it was like country boys were like attacking me too.
Yeah.
They're like, this country is so much better than the city. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you think we'd want to leave the country for the city. So like it kind of sparked this like TikTok war with these boys. And like, oh my God, it was so funny. I would like take a picture of the skyline. I'm like, this looks a lot better than your dirt mounds in the country. But for example, that song, It's On Me, the one with Struggle Jennings, I almost didn't release that song because it is super personal. And it's like about messing up a relationship. So like girls don't really say that. So I almost didn't put it out. And then when Struggle wanted to hop on, I was like, I have to release this song now. But yeah, just stuff like that. Like I'm not afraid to write songs that kind of go against like what are acceptable for like women of country. And I think part of that's also just having social media. Like I don't really have anyone to like tell me no.
Yeah.
So I can just put out whatever I want, which is dangerous. But
But that's also the beauty of your independence and of the tools that are available in 2025.
Yeah.
Those tools were there in ways 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But not at our fingertips like they are now.
Oh yeah. And that's, yeah. And it's funny, too. I feel like the songs that are real and, like, against the grain, like, people love. Like, I have some more I've been playing on tour that are new. And everyone loves the songs that are, like, a little bit outside of, like, the box, you know?
Well, they like the edgy, and I feel like that's part of your personality.
Yeah.
Like, you're a girl of faith. You're a Georgia girl. Like,
yes.
You're sweet. You have the family values. But, like, you're a little edgy.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, that's... I know, I'm like, I'm a mixed breed, I guess.
Yeah, but that's what makes you, and that's what folks out in different pockets of the country, and it makes sense that you're selling tickets on the West Coast.
Yeah.
It's a different world out there, but they're into, kind of what's next.
Yes. No, they love what's next. They love breaking boundaries. And I think a lot does go to say most people, I don't think, are just one thing.
Yeah.
Like, I've met with managers, labels, and they always, even with my hat, like, back in the day, wearing a cowboy hat was, like, not cool. And I would take meetings or, like, lose the hat. They're like, you're not, like, ugly, like, lose the hat. And I'm like, this is, I love the hat. Like, it kind of feels like a part of me, and I've just stuck to it, and that's how I feel with my music. I just want to put out stuff that's authentic to me and feels real to me. And I think that is what kind of vibrates at the highest frequency is originality, authenticity, and really connects with people. So
yeah, and it's like you're not trying to cover up your face.
Yeah.
But it's, there's something about like this badass feeling of a chick in a cowboy hat.
No, there is.
You know?
I feel like you have to have like confidence to wear a cowboy hat too.
Yeah.
Because like when I wear this to New York, people are like, what is going on with this girl? Kids are like staring at me, pointing at me. And I like get to skip the line everywhere because like this person must be a celebrity if they're wearing a cowboy hat. Little do they know I'm a country singer, so not as exciting as like Beyonce, but
that's awesome. Yeah. That's awesome. Talk about some of the songs for me, like Don't Drink Me Down, Mustang, like and obviously I saw
the
you
OGs.
Pull up. Yeah, the OGs. Talk about kind of like before you got out there and were able to go out there and do the shows like you've been doing here recently, like when you first get here and you first start putting out songs.
Yeah. So Don't Treat Me Now when I put out in college, Mustang, I think maybe like college or high school.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I always kind of like did music as like a fun little like, oh, I make songs. Look at me. And then when I finally moved here, that's when I got like a little more serious, was able to meet, you know, producers in Nashville and kind of like dial in my sound more. So those songs were definitely like my first songs, and I just was making them because I liked making music. So, but yeah. I still have people that love those songs, which is what's funny. Like a radio ad, when we got to Oregon, they were playing, it had Mustang on it, and it's on me. And I was like, oh my gosh, you guys have like my newest song and my oldest song on this ad.
How did those songs lead you into the songwriter that you are today? Because I feel like those are building blocks.
Yeah. So I think Don't Drink Me Down, especially, you can kind of hear, I always have loved like dark sounding melodies and minor chords, and that song definitely resembles that. Mustang, definitely more upbeat, more of like a badass song, which I also love. I love a song that you can dance to and like actually enjoy live. So I think both those kind of were like little seeds of the writer I would become once I moved to Nashville.
Yeah. Do you remember your first co-write when you got to town?
I do. It was so scary. I remember it was, I think, with like Zach Sebaugh.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, like we were friends from Georgia, Instagram friends. He's like, oh my gosh, I saw you in Nashville. Come over and write. And I was so scared because I was like, it just was just weird opening up to someone. He's like, so how's your life going? I was like, oh my gosh, like this is kind of vulnerable. So I'm sure I wasn't the best co-writer in that session. But I've grown to love co-writing. It definitely is something, though. I feel like if I can't get vulnerable with someone and be 100% honest, like, I'm not going to write my best material.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's you talk about, like, the authenticity and the realness.
Yeah.
And to have that in the songs.
No, totally.
You got to get real in the writing room. Like, you just have to.
Yeah, you have to cut yourself open. I'm like, this is my soul. These are my demons. Let's write them out.
Is there a song that really shows that for you that's out in the catalog or one that's coming?
I think It's On Me definitely shows that vulnerability. Like I wrote that song, I think, in like 30 minutes to an hour, and it just was kind of like pouring out just like my ruining a relationship when I was younger and just kind of like taking me back to that dark place. It was weird too because I remember I wrote, came in that day, I was so happy, and then Tyler Banks started playing this guitar lick. And I feel like it just, like, word vomited out of me, like, the melody and everything.
Wow.
So, and that was the one I was, like, so scared to put out. I think I had that song done for, like, a year. Like, just my version.
Why were you scared?
Just because it's, like, so real and, like, so, like, raw, you know? It's, like, I didn't want people to listen to it and, like, judge who I was as a person.
Yeah.
So I was, like, I don't know if I should put this out.
So has getting that out there helped you with that I don't care what people think. I'm going to do me attitude. Because that's what I get from you. Yeah. Like, Ashley Walls is going to do what Ashley Walls wants to do. Yeah, and that's something I respect greatly.
Yeah, I mean, definitely it did. Like, I think, though, you're always nervous the most about the songs that you put, like, your heart and soul into. Like, happy songs, it's easier to put out because you're, like, people are, you just know they're going to like it because it's, like, upbeat.
Yeah.
You know, it's easy to listen to. But, yeah, that one, definitely, like, putting that out and just, like, the reaction I got. And then people, like, naturally started making, like, videos on TikTok and stuff. I think because it related to them. It really, like, did inspire me, which on my new project, I'm doing a lot of this, like, putting out songs where I am sad and, like, I am emotional because I feel like I'm a happy person and I do try to cover that up sometimes. So just being real and, like, revealing that side of myself as well is going to be really exciting to put out this year. Yeah. So.
How does Struggle Jennings get on that song? Walk me through that.
It's a crazy story. Yeah, so I actually gave him a ride. And my friend Harrison told me to start doing these Uber rides to show people my songs and get their reactions.
Wow.
So I'm by SIR. He calls an Uber to go get alcohol. He gets my car. And we, like, had followed each other before this happened. And I was like, wait, are you Struggle Jennings? And he was like, yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I actually have this song I want to show you. I'm like, is this going to be annoying for me to play you this? And he's like, no, not at all. But he's like, yeah, like, I have so many songs I'm putting out. Like, I'm not doing outside cuts, whatever. And I'm like, okay, well, how about you just listen? Play it for him. He's listening, bobbing his head. I'm like, does he actually like this? I can't tell. And then he was like, this is you? And I was like, yeah, this is me. And he's like, all right, I'll do it. And, like, he's like, you shouldn't be driving Uber. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm crying. But so yeah, that's how it came about. It was just the kind of like a God moment. And I thought he was just like saying it for like the video, you know,
or just being nice.
Yeah, just being nice. And then, yeah, he like after he's like, yeah, like, let's get in the studio like next week. And it was so funny because I invited him to my friend's house who produced the song. And he's, like, used to going in all these, like, huge studios. This is, like, this guy's basement.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is where the magic was made. Welcome. He, like, brought, like, a film guy with him. I'm like, yeah, like, I don't know if we're really going to get that much content here. Like, we sing it on an SM7. So he, like, cut the vocals. And honestly, he brought such, like, an amazing light to the song. And, like, such an edge that it kind of needed. So, yeah, I feel like it was just kind of God, like, showing up and... yeah, making me release that song. So it was wild.
See, it would blow my mind if I ordered an Uber from someone, which I don't have to do often because I'm sober. So I, yeah. I don't drink. So I'm lucky. I'm usually the DD.
Yeah.
But if I ordered an Uber and all of a sudden you were the one picking me up, I'd be like, what the? So do you still do that? Because it sounds like it worked out well for you.
Oh, it does. And like, well, I started doing it to make videos. Like, yeah. Just get people's reaction. It's funny. Like, a lot of times I'd pick people up. And they'd be like, wait, I think I follow you on Instagram. And so I do it occasionally. I've been like so busy, like I haven't done it recently, but I do need to do it again because it is fun.
It's a great content idea.
Oh, that's why we do it.
Like, incredible.
Well, that's what I put my phone right here and it's like.
So you have it like mounted?
Yeah, like there's like somewhere I'm like turning up the volume like slowly, like louder and louder because the person's not paying attention. And they're like on the phone like, what is going on with this girl? Like, and I'm like, this is my song. I hope you like it. Like, but yeah, like, I need to definitely do more of them. I haven't been in Nashville as much. So
yeah.
With my car.
Which is a good problem to have.
It is, yeah.
What's it like growing up as a twin? Because I have a brother and sister that are my younger brother and sister. They're twins. They're paternal twins, and they're 2 years younger than me. So they always had like this twin energy, and me being the older brother, I could never understand. You know,
yeah,
and they still have it to this day.
A little bit,
nothing crazy, but I know there's something special. So talk about the relationship you've always had with your with your sister and growing up together, and the fact that she works in music as well has got to be pretty cool.
Yeah, so growing up with her has been really cool. I mean, we definitely are very different people, I'd say, which is nice. So there's never been, like, any competition between us. We've both loved different things growing up. We were in different classes growing up, went to different colleges. She went to Alabama, I went to UGA. So we are super different people, and I feel like I am blessed, though, just having a built-in best friend. And I also feel like I don't really search. Like, I haven't dated anyone in such a long time. And I don't need to, like, go out and, like, feel validated, like, by hooking up with someone, because I have, like, my soulmate, which is my sister.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't have that need to feel like I have Jesus and I have my family. So I'm, like, in a really, like, stable position when it comes to, like, relationships, because I'm not going to go out just to, like, feel, like, a hole in my soul. So in that way, I'm very thankful, very grateful for all of that. And then also with her being in music, so she recently got in music. She's a publisher here.
Yeah.
Management for me, which has been amazing. Just having someone I can, like, 100% trust as we build out our team. I know she's never going to steal from me, hopefully, other than my clothes. But yeah, so grateful to have her in music and just have someone who's, like, actually on my side and I know will never turn on me.
Yeah. And it's got to be nice to just have them in town.
Yes. And we live together. So yeah. That's really nice, too.
Have you guys always lived together? Did you guys move to town at the same time and have lived together?
Yeah. So it's actually a funny story. I moved here, went home during COVID. And then I still had my apartment in the Gulch. So it was still COVID. Everything was still shut down, but some of the bars were opening.
Yeah.
So Christy. Oh,
I remember I was doing my rounds. Yes. So I remember.
Yeah. It was, like, so strict though. People to sit at tables is wild. Oh, yeah. But we're like, let's go back to Nashville so we can actually go out and, like, be social. So she comes with me, my one bedroom apartment, and then we never leave. And it's like, we lived in that one bedroom for, like, a year.
Wow.
Shared a bed. It was wild. She was working for AT&T, so she had to be up at 6 a.m. I was out here trying to, like, do the Nashville, you know, promise of networking until, like, 3 a.m. at Red Door, which is, like, totally the wrong thing to do. That is, like, the biggest lie of Nashville.
See, I as someone, I don't even drink, and if it weren't for the bars late night, that's how I met a lot of people. But it's all moderation.
Yeah.
It's all moderation.
I'm not a big drinker either. I was sober for, like, a year.
Yeah.
So that wasn't my issue. Just, like, you meet these people, but I don't know. It's just, like, nothing ever comes of it. You're just, like, meeting people, and
it's a lot of the same conversation over and over
again. It's like, so how are you? I'm like, doing the same stuff I did yesterday.
You been up to? Yeah, oh, I wrote another song today. Yeah. Oh, what have you been up to? Oh, I was on the road. Oh, this
100%.
Yeah.
So I just kind of feel like a lot of people that does help them. But for me, it just didn't really, like, do much for me. Like, I would book a ride at, like, 3 a.m. on Red Door, and then we'd meet at 11 a.m. the next day, and, like, all of us would be tired. So
yeah,
I just feel like, I don't know, it was not the Nashville way for me.
Yeah. What ended up being the Nashville way for you?
Just honestly, like, building it myself, like, through social media, and then brand deals came through that way. Shows, you know, co-writers reached out to me that way, so everyone just kind of, like, reached out through that avenue.
So it was a lot of, but to take advantage of those, you have to be in town, but you're able to use that tool of communication.
I mean, I have a lot of friends that don't live here that are, like, killing it.
Yeah.
So I kind of just feel like, I don't know. I feel like you don't have to be in Nashville anymore. That's, like, a hot take.
Yeah. See, my thing is, I always, I feel like there's ways where it could work.
Yeah.
And in the state of Georgia or the state of Alabama, totally, it can work. One, you're not that far.
Yep.
Two, you have so many opportunities to play shows. Athens, Georgia, you have as many bars as we do here in Nashville. Totally. Now, they don't all do music. You go into generals. They're not doing, there's not a cover band in there.
Yep.
But there's lots of opportunities for you to get reps playing music.
Totally.
In Athens, in Tuscaloosa, in Auburn, in Statesboro, in Milledgeville.
Yeah.
Like, there's opportunities to get that.
Yeah.
But if you're in a place where the music scene is a little tiny creek, you got to get to somewhere where there's more fishing opportunities.
But I think with social media now, it's kind of like the world is your oyster.
Yeah.
Like, everyone can find
There's more opportunity for sure. Yeah. My thing is, though, you got to get your reps.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, they do say, like, a lot of people that do blow up online, like, they can't play live.
Yeah, like, I remember there's guys from a few years ago. I remember some of their first shows. I remember there was, like, it was big on, like, Reddit or somewhere where they had notes on their set list where it said, take hat off here, tell this story here, say this here.
Interesting.
They didn't know how to be on stage.
That's
so much.
So, like,
and those guys are killing it now, but when they first started, they had it scripted line by line.
Totally.
What do I say? What do I do with my hands? I take my hat off here.
Yeah.
I talk. I introduce the band here.
Dude,
I point at the crowd here.
You're 100% right. Like, I think there is also, I like Nashville in the sense of like, it makes you a better writer. And like, you're with, it's like Harvard. So you're like with the smartest people, right? You're going to get smarter.
Yeah. You're going to surround yourself.
Same with writing, same with artistry.
Yeah.
But I look at people like Teddy Swims, like he was in Georgia and like he just got his crew together and they just crushed it. And now he's like huge, right? So I don't think, I always think like there's no limitation to what you can do just all by yourself.
Yeah.
Like obviously it's nice to live in Nashville and I'm thankful for being here. I used to play Broadway, so got tons of reps in there. I loved playing Broadway back in the day. So I am thankful for it, but I just think, you don't need, it's like not necessary. And that's anything in life. Like you don't need investors to start like a tech company. Like you can build it from the ground up yourself. You just have to put in the work and you have to like figure out how to do it yourself. And it might take longer, but in a way it's kind of like, if you can do it yourself, why, you know, move somewhere if you don't, if you're not able to.
Yeah, the world is more DIY
than
it's ever been. And music, the same thing.
Especially kids nowadays, like you can learn anything on YouTube. It blows my mind.
Yeah. Yeah, you want to know something, you can put it in ChatGPT.
Like you can like change light fixtures
like,
on YouTube or chat.
What's the wildest thing you've learned on YouTube? So you strike me as somebody that's on there.
I mean, yeah, I am on YouTube. I mean, I feel like, I don't really know. Probably just like music stuff. Like I've had to do like a lot of stuff for myself. So just like figuring out like why mixes like don't sound right. So I've gone on like deep rabbit holes. I remember when I was in business school, when I was in accounting, like I get like locked in. Like I swear I like, it's like I take Adderall, but I'm not on it. Like I went on this like rabbit hole about like all the different like stock terms and stuff like that. And just for no reason. So just like random stuff like that and just like, you know, live sets, like building those out. I used to build out all my live sets, so my tracks and everything. And now, thank goodness, I hired someone to do it because it saves me a lot of time. But just like the basic knowledge of production, Ableton, you know, vocal chains, stuff like that.
Yeah. How do you blend country, rock, pop, and now this even like electronic dance
country,
music thing? How do you blend it all together?
Yeah, so I will say the EDM stuff is definitely separate than what I'm doing.
But even in your country stuff, your solo stuff, it's like there's, you feel the pop elements, you feel some slight rock edge, and then you feel the country obviously through the songwriting. But how do you figure out how to blend it?
You know,
what's the right balance?
I don't think it's like a, it's something I even think about. I think it's just something I do.
Okay.
And I think it's just because I listen to a ton of pop music. I love pop melodies. Sometimes I don't love pop songwriting, though, like the storytelling aspect of it. So I think it's just like a blend of what I like. So when I'm writing, like it just kind of comes out like a pop melody with a country storyline.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's awesome. That's really cool. Talking about like there's a lot of your songs, you talk about empowerment.
Yes.
Is that intentional or is that something that just kind of comes out?
Yeah. Like I think when I did Cowboys, it was very intentional. I once sung Cowboys Like Girls Like Me, that song. And yeah, like I remember I just was like listening to Spotify. I'm like, all these girl songs are so sad.
Yeah.
So
music got very sad after COVID.
It
there
did.
Was like a 3-year period.
Yeah.
Where it was just sad song after sad song after sad song. We were just in our feelings as a society and as a world in country music.
No,
as a
literally.
Genre.
Everyone just wanted to listen to sad songs, which I get. I love sad songs. But I was like, I'm just always trying to look at what we have and like what I can fill like a hole for.
Yeah.
A void.
How can you be different?
Yeah, exactly. And I'm like, there's no upbeat songs being released, like female empowerment. I'm like, what's just like a song that people can like dance to and sing to? So that's how Cowboys was born. And empowerment in my other songs, like, I don't know. I feel like when I write, it's just pretty, like, whatever comes to my mind. And then later, once I pick the songs, I'm like, is this something, like, I want to say? Like, is this real to me?
Yeah.
And a lot of times it is empowerment. I think that's just kind of my personality, though. Like, I'm so pro-woman. Like, whenever people in the industry talk negatively about girls,
Yeah.
I'm always like, I don't talk bad about other female artists. I'm like, I respect what you're saying, but I'd rather not talk about that. Because I feel like it is such a thing. People like talk down to girls so much in the industry and honestly in life that girls just need like empowerment.
Yeah.
In this generation.
Yeah. And other genres have seen that. And yeah. Country had it. You look at like the 90s women.
Yeah.
You look at the heyday of the Carries and the Mirandas and all of that.
But even then, like it was hard for them,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's why there were like the two.
Exactly.
It's always been like two at a time.
Yeah.
Starting to change. That's shifting. You see it right now.
Well, I just feel like now it's like you can't really hold back what fans want.
Yeah.
Again, it goes back to social media. It's like people are going to, if you're getting real fans, at some point they're not going to be able to hold back women. Because it's like, if people are buying their music, buying their merch, coming to shows, it's like, okay, like the labels are going to want a piece of that money.
Yeah.
Same with Cody Johnson, you know, it's like, even if they don't believe in the project or sound, if there's enough money involved, like the labels will have to sign on.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So what do we have planned for the summer right now?
Because
I'm hoping you're not, I mean, I figure you're going out west again, but this time of year, going out to Arizona, I'm like, July just sounds like it's tough.
Yeah, so I think we're actually don't have too many Arizona things planned. I think we're doing Ohio, Alabama.
Nice.
We're playing a festival in Chicago, which will be really fun. And then we're starting to book some like shows for fall, like Las Vegas, just kind of US. And then we're going to look. We had a bunch of people. I have a big audience in Australia. I had a brand deal out there. So
oh, wow.
Trying to figure out if we can route something for like a month in Australia to make it worthwhile to go see those fans.
That's
and
sick.
Yeah, just I've never been to Australia either, so it'd be cool.
Yeah. How do you navigate the brand deal stuff?
Yeah.
Like you talk about, it's about Christy helping you on the management side, mm-hmm. but you guys are really doing this where it's like it's the two of you guys doing this shit.
In the weeds.
Yeah. How do you navigate the brand deal thing? Because so much of an artist, it used to just be you write songs, you play the songs, your songs, people go and buy the CDs or buy it on iTunes, and then they pay money to come and see you and hopefully buy a t-shirt or a koozie. Now it's you have to win them over with social media and stuff too. So there's that content creator side of it.
Yes.
So, and you do a great job of that.
Yeah, which I love doing that. Like that's, and I'm thankful too, like I had early on a friend who helped me with my content who was so creative and just kind of opened my eyes to a lot of things. He was from LA, so like very involved. He did movies in LA. So he kind of showed me like a love for like content creation and just true artistry online. But for brand deals, like we haven't done any outreach. It's just been people like emailing us for brands. And then we kind of look at it and we're like, is this something we believe in? And, you know, is authentic to us, just like my music. If it is, then we move forward. If it's not, then we just like politely tell them that it's not the right fit. And I think that's the win for everyone. I only am promoting things that I believe in and, you know, can put energy into. So then it's best for both parties.
Yeah. That's the right way to do it.
Yeah.
And it's not to be desperate and doing something that isn't on brand for you.
Yes. Yeah. I know even if the money's great, like we've had some really big offers, but it like either like didn't make sense. I didn't like the people in the company or like I didn't like think the product like made sense to promote. And we have always said no, because I think that's going to be like the long term win is just sticking to what's real. And then, you know, leading my fans in a direction that I think they should be taking.
Yeah, absolutely. What does the Ashley Walls fan kind of look like? Or what's like the demographic from what you've seen at the shows? Or is it a little all over the place?
It's kind of all over the place. Like, I'm always surprised. Like, our last show, I had all these girls in the front row, like, singing all the lyrics. But then I have people coming up after the show, like, buying three shirts that are, like, guys with families. And they're like, oh, I brought my whole family down here. Like, I found you on this video. So, yeah, I don't even... My fan base is all over the place. Like, it doesn't make sense to me, but they all pull up. So, yeah.
That's awesome. What's been a fan interaction that's really stood out for you? Because now that you're getting to have your boots on the ground and get out on the road and meet these people. Because I know there's a lot with, like, comments and you get messages and you get things on the website and all of that. But there's something about the in-person touch and that in-person experience.
Yeah. I mean, so for me, I always think of shows as like the ultimate treat of being an artist, because I love people You know, I love hearing people's stories.
Yeah.
Gosh.
Or it could even be a message. It could be like just any moment where you're like, damn, I really had an impact on that guy or that girl.
Probably
that
like,
kid.
Yeah, the kids that have like, you know, there's been kids that have come out that have cancer and they're like so excited to meet me. And that like really touches me. Like they're like, oh, want a picture. And they're just like so excited for me to like take a picture with them. And it just does go to show like such a small thing means so much to someone.
Yeah.
And
crazy.
Yeah, that blows my mind. Cause like, and that breaks my heart all at the same time. Cause it's like, I don't know. I'm always just trying to be beyond nice to people. And yeah, those are always hard. But then beyond that, like we always pray before the show. And I say like, God, like, please let us change and touch someone in the crowd tonight. And every time when I say that prayer, someone at the merch table will be like, I came in like dealing with this. And like, I feel like you have like lifted this weight off my shoulder. So that's the stuff that impacts me the most. Like when I'm actually touching someone's life. And then it's always cool to hear how people found it. Like, oh, I was on TikTok and saw you on live, or I saw your Morgan Wallen cover. But the ones that really hit me are the ones that are like super like sentimental and like someone was like, you know, distraught. And then me bringing my music to them like has helped make their day a little bit better. So yeah. I think that's like why we make music.
Yeah, absolutely. Because you think back to the songs that inspired you growing up listening to music.
Yeah.
Or watching your grandpa play the pedal steel.
Yeah.
Like, that inspired and changed your life.
No, exactly. You know? So I'm like, I hope, you know, I can just make someone a little happier.
Yeah. What's the process of doing the TikTok live? And that's a world I don't know a ton about. We do a lot of the events and have the social media accounts. I know a lot of artists do it and it's great and all that, but how much planning goes into one of those things, or do you just kind of free ball it and just go for it?
Yeah. So I'm like not a big live person. I've been trying to be better. I kind of just go live like when I'm doing random stuff. Like I sang like the national anthem at Monster Jam. So like I went live as I was waiting to sound check, which I did not get to sound check, which was very scary. That's like the only time I've been nervous singing. I was like,
really?
Yeah, because they're like, oh yeah, we don't have time to sound check. I was like, oh, isn't there like a 5-second delay in here? And they're like, yeah. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're in Bridgestone. I can't sound check. This is scary. But yeah, just going live random times, like when I'm on tour getting ready, just saying what's up to people. And then sometimes I'll go live just with my acoustic guitar and like fans will request songs. And I've actually booked some gigs from that too. Like,
wow.
Yeah, like some private gigs, because I'll have people on there and like, oh my God, like you actually sound like you do on the record. You should play my house party. So
what's been a wild private gig?
Oh God.
That you can talk about.
That I can talk about.
Because I know some of them are like private, like celebrity things, or like they're private for a reason.
Definitely I played Texas recently and that one was cool. We got picked up on a private jet, which is fun.
Wow.
And then I got to blow up some Tanzanite and I got to shoot a minigun.
You got to shoot a minigun?
Yeah, with Dr. Phil.
With Dr. Phil.
So that was wild. And yeah, I just had so much fun. I remember I didn't want to shoot it either. They're like, Ashley, you know, being like one of the girls, I feel like they just wanted like a girl to shoot it too. That was like cool. So they made me shoot, blow up this Tanzanite and made me shoot the minigun. But I was so scared. I was like, I hope I don't like let this thing loose by accident and kill everyone.
With Dr. Phil by
yeah, he
your
shot,
side.
Yeah, yeah. He shot it first and then I got to shoot it. I was like, I don't think.
You shot a minigun after Dr. Phil.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think this is like the same caliber, but cool. I'll let you guys slide. But yeah, that was really fun and just cool people. Like everyone got to come up on stage and start singing with us. And I got to meet some really cool people that did like high position things and just talk to them about their experience. And they were blown away by what I do. I was blown away by what they do.
Isn't that crazy when you meet somebody that's like super successful in business or an industry and they're like, wait, you made this song?
Yes.
And they're blown away by you?
Yeah. And you're like, what? And like, I just remember I got in the house and I started like, the guy had a piano, the house we were staying at. And I was like, can I play the piano? And like, all of them started recording. They're like, shh, people are coming in. They're like shushing them. Like, oh, sorry. Like, I'm not actually like performing. They're like, just like blown away. I was like, oh, like that's what it takes.
Yeah. That's crazy. So what are the big goals for the rest of this year? I know we're, like you said, you've been in and out of the studio, you've been on the road. So what do we got cooking?
Yeah, so I'm definitely thinking about putting out like a full-length project soon. I just released my song Cowboys and Angels.
Yeah, love it.
Like 4 days ago, I think now. It was Friday. So, and that one's doing really well. I think we're almost at 100,000 streams. So
that's huge as an independent artist. Yeah. Is it just starting to get out on the road and build your base?
Oh, like, it's been, that's yeah. Big. I know, it's been big wins. Like, and then my Spotify following has been growing like exponentially. So just like keeping that momentum going on the Spotify side of things, yeah. Working on a full length project, and then continuing to tour and just, you know, go out, meet people and yeah. Treat myself to shows.
That's awesome. That's yeah. Great that you look at it as treating yourself to a show. Yeah. Because it means so much to the people that are yeah. Paying their hard-earned money or taking totally. The time to come out and watch you play. And the fact that you feel that way about going, traveling and going to do the show.
Totally.
Don't ever lose that feeling.
Oh, I never will. Like, that's how I look about most things. Like, even I was on my Peloton bike this morning. I'm like, oh, I get to treat myself to a bike ride. You know, it's all treats. And it really means the world. People not only are spending, you're right, their hard-earned cash to come out and see me, but also like taking their time. And just relating to my music, something that means so much to me. I'm just like forever grateful for that.
Yeah. Do you still think you would have been a doctor if you hadn't gone the music route? Or is something else popped up where you're like,
I probably honestly, I don't know where God would have led me, but probably something creative.
Yeah.
I've always been like very creative, which I think I could have done being a doctor, like with dermatology or plastic surgery, but I think I wouldn't have been like as fulfilled, and I still would be in med school right now, which is crazy to think.
Yeah, it's a lot of years.
Yeah, I'm like, that always blows my mind when I'm like, wow, I would still be in school making $0.
Yeah.
That's wild.
That is crazy.
That is insane.
That is crazy. What do you like doing when you're not doing music stuff? You talked about the Peloton.
Love working out, and yeah, then I just do music.
Do you still, have you gone through the going out phase of Nashville? It sounds like you have.
Yeah, I mean, I never.
Or is it different places where do you go out? You're not a big drinker, so
I don't really drink, but I love dancing. So like, I'll go out and like dance on the table, like sober. I mean, I'm always like the DD kind of.
Yeah.
So, but people like my energy is like very like, you know, fun. So I don't really need alcohol to like have fun.
So where's the section of town you frequent?
I mean, every once in a blue moon, I'll go to like festivals and stuff, like the Barstool Festival. I went to
okay,
that.
Okay, so like the street
yeah,
party
just
stuff,
like big yeah. Events and stuff. Or if my friend just played Whiskey Jam, so I went and supported him. I'm more so like supporting my friends on like stuff they're doing. Like that's a reason for me to go out, or I like will go to dinner. Like I love going to dinner, is getting sushi.
Yeah.
And just like actually getting to like talk to my friends and connect. Like, how have you been? What have you been doing? Yeah. You know?
As so. Opposed to the
yelling over music. Yeah, and I love Red Door though too, but
yes, yeah.
I'm just like, I don't know. I'm always just busy, so I feel like I can't really stay up till 3 a.m. anymore.
Yeah, we go through phases of being in town. Like I used to work on Broadway when I first moved here. I did security.
Yeah.
I was checking IDs.
I did
Whiskey
not
Row.
Know that.
Yeah, it was my first. I did that for a year. I was a
I'm
door
actually
guy.
Playing Whiskey Row for CMA Fest.
Oh no shit.
I'm playing Thursday of next week.
Hell yeah. That's awesome.
I love Whiskey Row. That's where we play in Scottsdale too. I'm friends with some of the Riot guys who own Whiskey Row. So
yeah,
I love that spot.
Yeah, that was like my first thing in town. So when I worked down there, I was a Broadway boy. Like I was buddies with the guys at the stage and the buddies with the guys at FGL, which is now Laney's, and like all of that. But like we go through phases, and I haven't been down there and I can't even tell you
parking
how long.
Parking is so, that's my one thing with Broadway. I love Broadway, but the parking, if I like can't park somewhere, like it's hard for me to like show up.
Yeah.
I like to have a parking spot.
Well, that's what's good about us having the parking spot right
now. I know.
Here.
I was so excited when I saw it. I was like, yes, I don't have to like park somewhere sketchy and like almost get mugged. So that's always a benefit.
It's true. What is your favorite? You were talking about like getting sushi and going out to dinner.
Yeah.
We got some great food up here in Nashville.
Oh, we do. It's so good.
Like it's a cool city.
Yeah.
It really is.
Oh, I love Nashville. And like, I mean, eventually I think I'll have more time to like go out and do stuff, but I'm just like so much in my hustle era right now that I just feel like I don't really have time to like enjoy life like that much right now. But sushi wise, I mean, Virago, I love their, it's truffle, I think, truffle salmon. Nigiri is really good. Where else? Oh, 888 Sushi.
Yeah.
They have the vinyl lounge, like the guys mixing on vinyls, which is really cool. Very sexy club. I love sexy atmospheres, like very dark. I can sip my sake and just, you know, focus on whatever friend I'm there with and like hear how they're doing and just catch a vibe.
Where's the best sushi that you've had? Because you've been out west, and out west they have some good stuff. Gosh. Good sushi comes out of the Pacific Ocean.
Yes. Okay, Texas, actually.
Really?
Dallas, Texas. I'm forgetting the name of it.
Wow.
Gosh, what is it called? It was this one place, Umi, maybe?
That sounds like a sushi place.
Like someplace like that. Yeah. But they would tell you, it was like a chef special. They tell you how to flip it in your mouth to get the notes. So you like put it in your mouth and you're like, all right, like holding your mouth for like 5 seconds. So you're like holding your mouth. Like it's a whole experience. And you can't use chopsticks. They make you use your fingers.
Oh.
And it was so good. Like my mouth, it was like a volcano of flavors. It was so good. I still dream about it. Every time I go back, I try to make a reservation. They're booked out months in advance.
Wow, that good.
So good. And I've had omakase here as well, but yeah. I don't know. It's like more expensive in Nashville and it's like not as good in my opinion.
Yeah.
Because I think omakase, there was like 100 something. Here's like $300.
Wow.
So it's a lot.
that is a lot. Where have been some of your favorite places that you've gotten to go, and where you talk about going up to Ohio doing a festival? Yeah. Obviously you know the Southeast very well, yes, being a Georgia girl, but like where are some places that you're kind of hungry to get to, and where are some of your favorite
like
places?
Show-wise?
That you've been? Yeah, like show wise. Yeah. Because I know you and Christy travel too. Yes. So you've been to, I'm sure, a lot of the states.
Yeah, like I feel like I'm kind of blessed because everywhere we've been invited to play has been somewhere cool to go to.
Yeah.
So we like go and get to explore and just see the areas. I mean, I definitely need to go visit the middle of the United States.
Yeah.
I feel like I've been like on the outskirts of the U.S.
But that makes sense with your music.
Yeah.
Honestly. Yeah, the concrete cowgirl.
Yes.
Like it makes sense that the cities would be the first one, but the folks in the Midwest are going to like it too.
No, that's exactly. That's what's cool. I kind of have something like for everyone. So I remember Wisconsin, I was supposed to play up there like before COVID, this festival, and it ended up getting canceled. So I definitely want to make my way to Wisconsin. Definitely want to go to Canada. I have a ton of people want me to play up there. I said Australia as well, which would be really cool. Eventually, Europe would be sick. Like, I don't know if I have any fans in Europe, but I do know they love music. Yes. So
they're picking up on the country trend out there. Like, country is having its moment out there. And all the C2C stuff, they love it.
Shoot,
and you know, they call it European house music for a reason. They love a pop beat.
Yeah, they love.
They love the dance. They're starting to love country. You put those two together.
Yeah, we might need to go to like, I want to go to like France though.
Yeah, like do like Paris, do Amsterdam.
I love Paris.
Like, go all around.
I feel like Paris, like Western influences Paris a bunch, like in terms of style and architecture.
Yeah.
I like studied classics in college and we did a study abroad up there and just studied all the different elements of, you know, what made classics, you know, the classic architecture in France and Italy and Spain. So I've been there as a tourist with my parents and like as a student in school. So it'd be really fun to like go out there and play music for them too.
That'd be sick.
But I don't know if they like country in France. So
I don't. Well, if you look at like the C2C festivals that they're doing.
Is that in France though, or is that London?
That's in France. That's in England. That's in Scotland. That's in Germany. That's in.
Yeah, I think Germany, they like
that's
country.
That's in the Netherlands. They're in Sweden. They're in every like European country. That C2C stuff, it used to just be in London.
That's where C2C was London.
But now it's expanding to all of Western Europe and it's like a tour almost.
That's cool. That would be really like a month cool
or
two.
Yeah, or you can do it. Do it yourself too.
Yeah,
you know, I'm sure there's fans out there.
Oh yeah, I know. I need to look into that. Eventually, we'll get a booking agent too, who can just.
Yeah, how hard is it booking, or is a lot of it been thankfully people
it's
reaching out?
It's all just been inbound recently. Like, that's my whole story of my life. Is it's all just God bringing me people? So that's been cool. But yeah, we definitely eventually want to get a booking agent and then do some outreach too. Like I just finished making an EPK and I'm ready to like start emailing people, but just like there's only 24 hours in a day. So
Yeah. What's something that you would tell that girl that was getting ready to move here right before COVID? Or even that young girl having a blast watching her grandpa play the pedal steel, like that girl that's thinking about music to where now you have a lot of people listening to it. You have people following you. You're getting to do what you've always wanted to do and what you've always loved for a living, and you're having success with it.
Yeah. I guess like I'm kind of a weird case because I feel like I've always known I've always like seen the inside, and I feel like all of us kind of have that, but we don't like tap into it mentally. Yeah. So I've always like known, and I know my journey is going to keep going. I'm going to keep growing and becoming like more and more the artist that I'm meant to be. But so I feel like for that girl, like she always knew.
Yeah.
That what I was supposed to do, and I was supposed to do music, and like how far I was going to take it. So I guess I would tell her, like, you know, just like stay on your path. And, you know, my biggest advice is always put yourself first, because I feel like as a woman, like it's easy to like prioritize other people or like want to help people. But you have to keep in mind, like, to prioritize your health and, you know, yourself as well. And my advice to other people, because people always DM me like, what's your advice for like, you know, making it in music? And I'm like, dude, I still don't know what to say. I'm like, I don't know what brought me here other than God. So I'm always just like, keep your faith in God, put him first. If it's out of order, nothing's going to work.
Yeah.
And just do it. Like, that's it.
Yeah. Hell yeah.
People are like, do I like need to meet someone? Like, don't try to meet anyone, because like, you're the only person that's going to like be able to make the music. So just hone in, lock in, and focus and do it.
Yeah, you really want to do it, you'll figure it out.
Yeah.
You're meant to do it, it's going to happen.
Exactly. And if it's not meant to be, like, God has a different plan for you, which is going to be even better than this.
Yeah.
So.
The plan is the plan.
It is. Either way, you can rest assured your life's going to be amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's so cool. Well, hey, I appreciate you hanging out with me. This was a lot of freaking fun.
Dude, thank you for having me.
A lot of fun. I'll send you home with some Surfside.
Thank you.
People can find you, Ashley Walls Music. What are the handles again?
Yeah, it's Ashley Walls _ on Instagram.
_.
The Ashley Walls is taken.
Oh, no.
I know. I tried to message the girl, but she's never on Instagram. So she has like 500 followers, like unactive. Like,
I've heard stories of where people have tried to get like their name.
I tried
name
to pay her. I was like, how much do you want like for the name?
Yeah. And then it's like somebody with 4 followers just happens to have it, and they haven't posted since like 2019.
And then you can't reach them because they're not on their Instagram.
Yeah. Because they don't do social media, but they just have the account.
And then, Ashley Walls Music, TikTok. You guys can just, I'm in a cowboy hat, so black cowboy hat right now, not this one, but you'll see it, and it's verified, so don't follow the other ones, because they will try to steal money from you.
Oh, do you have a lot of fake accounts out
there?
So many. I have like 1 or 2,
and it's
funny that I have them, because like, I get Facebook friend requests
from them, and you're like, why are you following me? I'm fake.
I'm not me, I don't live in Ohio. Yeah. Like, this is,
and they like DM me like, we need $500 from you, and you're like, no, like, do not give these people money. No, I have so many people like will message me like, my friend thinks he's marrying you. And I'm like, that person doesn't speak English.
Thinks he's marrying you.
It's actually gotten dangerous. Like, at the last show I played, apparently this guy got attacked by a girl because she gave him all her savings to a fake account and thought it was him. So it is like a little bit sketchy, but I'm like, if they don't speak English and they're not verified, it's not me. And if they're asking for money, I would never ask someone for money.
You would know if it's Ashley.
Yeah. I'd be like, what's up?
Yeah, like, you got to use some common sense out of here, guys. Damn, that's crazy.
It's scary. But then people message like, I gave this account like $1,200, but at least I found your music. So people see the bright side. And then I'm like, why are you guys not giving me $1,200? Like, what? I get so sad.
That's wild.
Yeah.
That's wild. But y'all be sure to look up our girl, Ashley Walls, and be sure to check out Cowboys and Angels. It's out right now. And be on the lookout for shows. The website would be ashleywalls_.com.
No, it's ashleywallsmusic.com and ashleywalls.com.
You have both of them.
We just got the ashleywalls.com.
So they go to the same place?
Well, the ashleywalls.com, we're actually building a website out.
Ooh, a new one. Okay. Yeah. Sick. Awesome.
So a new website to come.
Hell yeah. That's awesome. Well, sis, thank you so much for hanging out.
Thank you for having me.
Nikki T and I love having you in our Raise Rowdy family too. We gotta get you all back to play sometime soon.
I would love that. That'd be fun.
Maybe we'll have to do some like, we could have you do your thing.
Yeah.
And then we could have
an after party.
Yes. EDM, like bring like a club vibe.
That would be fun.
See how crazy that would get.
That would be wild. I'll walk on the bar. We'll do it up. We'll do it real.
Be awesome. Well, y'all be sure to look up our girl Ashley Walls. Shout out to our friends from Surfside. And for more on us, you can always visit RaiseRowdy.com. For my girl Ashley, I'm Matt Burrell. This has been Outside the Round.
I ain't never been the kind for staying one place for too long. ain't never been the best at saying I love you to a girl I love. Only got a couple tricks on my sleeve, they usually just make them leave. So if you know me, if you really know me,